Good evening, everybody. This is Gabriele Pucci, and I'm streaming from Canada, and this is my first podcast. I'm here today talking about a very special topic, which is yoga, and of course, everything related to yoga, like meditation and lifestyle. And here with me today, we have Susan Arias from Costa Rica. Hi, Susan. How are you today?
Hi, Gabe. Very good. What about yourself?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you very much. Glad that we can have this conversation about yoga and meditation.
Yes, me too.
So this is the first episode of my podcast. This podcast is called my first podcast, like literally, because it's because I'm 32. I'm kind of like, I'm not old, but definitely not super young either. So I decided at 32 years old to start a podcast. And I couldn't find a good name for it, and I decided to go with my first podcast. As I said, I'm streaming from Canada, although I'm not Canadian. I'm from Italy. I happen to work here in Canada. And doing this job in Canada, I met so many awesome people from all over the world, and Susan is one of them. She's a yoga instructor, a yoga professional, and today she will talk to us about the benefits and the change in lifestyle that yoga and meditation bring to a person. So let's start with you, Susan. Introduce yourself and tell us about your business and your lifestyle with yoga and meditation.
Thank you, Gabe. Well, hi, everybody. Very happy to be here. And well, my name is Susan, and I have a yoga project which is called Suara Yoga. Suara means voice or sound in Indonesian. And before I knew this, then Suara actually means voice or sound. I just started using it because it was just my combination of my first and last name. So my name is Susan, last name R, Arias, and A from Aguilar, because here in Costa Rica we use two last names. And yes, yeah, so at the beginning when I was in high school, I always used to name my emails as Suara something. And then when I became a yoga instructor, I wanted to start my own project, and I was thinking, what name should I use? And then I just thought about Suara. And so I decided to use Suara because I feel very connected with the name. And a few months later, or maybe, yes, 6 months to 1 year later, I was searching again about Suara. I don't know why I started looking for it. And when I read the definition again, I was completely surprised, because it just totally related with what I do, because I need to use my voice for meditation and for guiding people in the yoga class. And so in that moment I thought, yes, I think everything is connected, and this is part of my role here in Earth.
Okay, that's pretty cool, and sounds very spiritual as well, I guess. Of course, if you practice yoga, meditation, you have to have a good dose of spirituality with you as a baggage with you, right?
Well, it makes you connect with yourself, so it's really interesting how it works. It just makes you more conscious about life, about what you are, where you're coming from, and all those deep questions. You don't tend to question yourself, because you may not be there yet. But as soon as you start doing yoga, I think all these questions are more important, and you start like thinking about those things.
Yeah, that's cool. I guess somebody drove by your house, probably not a person that does yoga, because I heard like a huge burnout outside, like, I guess, crazy, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. This is off topic, but it was like pretty clear, you know, like.
So yeah, you can hear everything from here.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like I did myself try yoga, and I haven't done it in a while, and I should probably, because it's really good for stress and anxiety. And I am planning on doing it again, and probably follow a class with you online. But yeah, like, let's go to the next, like, question that would be, what does yoga mean to you? What is this practice brings to your life, and to your, both to your everyday life and to your life in general, like to your lifestyle, if it brought changes or benefits or any other effects that has on your lifestyle?
Sure. For me, yoga just makes me a better person, because mm-hmm. I'm more focused in something that makes a purpose for me. Like, yoga for me, it's my purpose. I feel very connected about teaching people and assisting others to understand what yoga means for me. And mm-hmm. I think it's about listening to yourself, to your body. Don't compare, because the idea of yoga is not just doing asanas or postures. It's more than that. And so it just helped me to connect with my mind, with my soul, with my body, and just appreciate how I am with my weakness and my everything as I am. Mm-hmm. So I think it just helped me to start loving myself more. And that's mm-hmm. what I would like to share with everybody, to just help people to get to know them, and also to connect with their conscious and create a better world for everybody.
Maybe help them or help us connect to Earth, like as much as you are connect to Earth, maybe.
Yes, exactly.
That's pretty cool. And how do you relate yoga with meditation? Like, how do these two practices connect to each other? How do they work? How does meditation work compared to yoga, and how does yoga compare to meditation?
Okay, I think that when you connect your mind and your breathing and the postures or asanas, it's a way of meditation, because you are completely concentrated in what you are doing, because trying to be present doing all that, it's not that easy. So I think just doing yoga, it's a way of meditation. And also, you can also just meditate, only meditate. Mm-hmm. And we usually do it when we do Shavasana, which is the last posture of yoga sequence, where you are just resting and just be there. You know, Shavasana, it's not that uneasy. It looks like an easy posture, but it isn't that much. Because the idea is that you don't move and you just stay there listening to your body. And that's a way of meditation. You can stay there like for about 5 minutes, or you can do it as long as you want, maybe 1 hour or two. And yeah, meditation helps you as well to reduce your anxiety, your stress, to listen to yourself, to work in your nervous system, helps you to sleep. So it has lots of benefits for our health. And as much as you can do it, it's the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, in my personal experience, definitely, Susan, you know, we talk about that quite a lot when I first came to visit you in Costa Rica after you left Canada. And I remember probably you left in 2016, and I came in 2017. So we actually haven't seen. We just talked to each other via phone or via Skype, but we haven't seen each other until December 2017. It was like a year and a half. And I remember when I came down to visit you the first time, you were still like passionate about yoga, but you didn't make it a job, your job yet, because you had another job and you had, you know, like to, you know, everybody has to save money and, you know, like keep up with life. But I was in a time that I was doing yoga, and I was telling you about the, you know, like all the different positions and stretches that you can do. And I remember asking you, like, if I could, you know, meditate while I actually do stretching and, you know, like do a position. I remember you giving me a few suggestions. So I could already see that you were really prepared about yoga even before I actually take the course to become a teacher.
Yes, I am doing yoga for about, I started like on 5 to 7 years ago, mm-hmm. but it was just a hobby, right? I was just doing it because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And then last year, 2019, I had this episode where I was working. They liquidate everybody because they were moving from Costa Rica. So I had the opportunity to decide what to do next. And I was really tired of doing a desk job. It was a really good job and I really enjoy it, but I was looking for something new. Mm-hmm. And then just decided to do it. I was not really sure if I was prepared, but I decided to listen to my heart, something that really passionate me. And that's how the change happened. And I really enjoy it right now. Because of this situation, the virus situation, yeah. I'm now suspended from face-to-face yoga lessons. But I'm doing it now virtually. And at the beginning, I was not really sure if I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. But then I decided to take the jump. And I really enjoy it now. I think it's very beneficial mm-hmm. for everybody because you can be anywhere and then you just mm-hmm. connect. And you yeah. can be at the beach or you can be at the mountains or anywhere. And it's just very, very good for everybody. Also for me as well as for the students. They also can yeah. do it from anywhere.
I should join you and your students for something. I always say I do. I wanted to do last night. Remember, I told you, yeah, I'm going to join tonight the meditation lesson. And then I worked till late and I made dinner and I was 10 minutes late and I couldn't actually join. So, I mean, my fault, but definitely I'll make time for that because I know that it's having a desk job myself, which, by the way, I do love my desk job, but it's mentally tiring and you get all these little sores and aches in your body, like my shoulder, my wrist when I type long. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that yoga would be very beneficial to a person like me, above all overweight. So, like, I could use it as a sport to try to make to improve my body shape and also to relax, you know, like, and to discharge after a long day of work or a long week of work. Just connecting to the next question, like, let's talk a little bit about yoga. Is an ancient practice from India, right? Can you tell us something generally about yoga is, and, you know, like connecting these to your experience in India? Because I remember you've been to India when you were working for your previous company, and I guess you got to experience some, you know, like original OG yoga from India, right?
Well, I actually traveled to India and yeah. I was really blessed because, yeah, my previous work set me for a training there. Mm-hmm. But I actually didn't practice yoga there, only a Ooh. Few times. But it was just doing my personal practice. In that place, I actually was my first yoga class to my coworkers that they were traveling with me, and they... As we were in India, many people talk about yoga. So, and they never actually tried yoga before. They knew I liked it. So they told me, why don't you teach us a lesson now that we are here? So I decided to do it. I was not really a yoga instructor in that moment yet. Mm-hmm. But that experience connect me with the idea of being or become a yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the energy in India connect me with that idea. And it was a great experience. I really enjoy being there and get to know their culture. And just because I was working every day, and in the city was where I were, there were not many places where you can do yoga. So I couldn't while I was there, but I really enjoyed the experience. I wish I could go back there again.
Okay. And did you get to visit some historical spots, some historical places in India related to yoga or to meditation culture or to any of your your passions and interests that connect you to yoga?
Well, I went to the Taj Mahal, which is a really nice place. And the idea of this place is that it was built because, well, it represents love at the end of the history, because it's really long. But yeah, it represents love. And I was really blessed to be there. I stayed there for a whole day. It's a really huge place, and I took my mandala there. I have a
nice. We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, like about mandala. Have you been able to meditate at the Taj Mahal a little bit, like to find the minutes of, or you know, like a few minutes of peace and meditate in front of or inside the Taj Mahal? I haven't been to India, so I don't know if they will let you stand and meditate in front of there or inside. So I mean,
well, it's a tourist place, so it is not. Only meditation there, like people usually just go to visit and get to know the place. So I was not really able to meditate there, but I meditated in India where I was staying. And but that time I was learning Reiki, which is a therapy then where you use your hands to heal yourself.
Okay, self-healing and Reiki. Yeah.
Yes, I really experiment there, really good connection with myself, because I was doing Reiki a lot in India. And yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah, so you've been to India, and I've known you for a long while. And I do remember you are very connected to India and to Indian culture and, you know, like in general, like... East Indian culture and Asian culture. That's why you also create mandalas. So you can show us what a mandala is and what represents to you and how it helps you. It helps you to meditate. Okay.
Sure. Well, this is a mandala.
Nice.
And it's a therapy tool that makes you or helps you to connect with the meditation of just moving it. Also, when you are creating it, it's just a lot of meditation. It takes about, well, for me, it takes me like 2 hours to make this.
A lot of focusing and concentration, I guess.
Yes, exactly. You need to focus and concentrate while you're doing it, and that's a type of meditation. And I learned this like when I was 17 or 18, because a friend of mine in that time told me she was going to receive a training with a guy. He was going to teach her how to do it. And I just asked her, can I go with you? And she said, yes, of course. And we did the training both together. And then it was just natural for me to create this. And I just did many, many mandalas. It's just something very special for me to do. Like I'm really connected with mandalas too. This behind me is a mandala, so you can also draw them. It's not just only made of wire like this one.
And can you tell us, please, what is a mandala and what's the function? I know I'm going to anticipate that. I know you already told me in our many conversation that it's connected to geometry and sacred geometry, and it does connect... and does relate to meditation and Indian culture, right? So if you can tell us, you know, briefly what it is and what was the use of that, or if it has some kind of mythology or you know, like history in the Indian culture?
Well, these are all geometric figures. So it is connected with sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. For me, sacred geometry is that connection that we create from ourselves or from conscious to matter. Mm-hmm. So I was reading and listening to some information about the mandala. And so for me, we started as a center, and then we expand, and then we became what we are right now. So it's kind of difficult to explain.
An evolution.
Yeah, it's like from conscious, this is conscious to matter. And that's what mandala means for me, about our creation as a human being.
So what does mandala mean? Do you know?
Well, for me, it's just a type of meditation that connects me with myself. And mm-hmm. it's just fun to do. It's fun to play with it. And you can use it as different ways. You can hang it in your room. You can use it for a candle. Or, you can have many uses of the mandala.
Sorry. I made a mistake in formulating the question. What does mandala mean, like in general? Like, what's the history? What's the mythology of mandala? What does it mean? If I remember well, reading that it means circle, something like that.
Oh yeah, it means circle in Sanskrit. Yeah.
Okay. Sanskrit. And can you tell? I guess you can tell us a little bit of where it is placed in Indian culture and what's the meaning historically and mythologically of this job object, you know, like, so that our viewer and listener can understand.
Yes, well, mandala was created in India, and when I visit India, I actually found a guy he was making the mandalas, and I felt so connected with him, and I was going to show him my mandala because I was traveling with a mandala everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when I was taking it from my purse, all the guys that were selling things, they came to me. There were like 20 guys around me. They thought I was going to buy a mandala. And I just wanted to show him, hey, I do my mandalas too. But yeah, I'm not sure where exactly it was created. I just know it's from India. Mm-hmm. And it's just because of this idea of that we are a soul, and then we are all connected by sacred geometry and mathematics, and the geometry in general, it's in everywhere in our environment. Like when you see a flower in nature, you can see it in nature. It's just mm-hmm. geometric figures everywhere. So it's just connected with life, and it's something that is not so easy to understand. But you need to read much about it, about it, and then you will start noticing how these figures are everywhere. So connected with the world, with your conscious.
There is a pattern. It's not casual. Exactly. There is a part like the shape of a flower, the shape of a plant, even how the roots of the plants are of a tree, for example, are positioned. Or have you ever noticed if you cut a tree and you go and check the in the wood, like there are circles, then they can tell you how old the wood, and it's all geometry. So I guess what mandala represents, as you said, is like a pattern that we can find in objects and creation that we see every day, you know.
Yes, exactly.
There are so many similar things. Like, you know, every religion, every culture has some similar point of view. They have some kind of meeting point. Like there are this information explained in a different way also in Christianity and of course, Hinduism, because I'm pretty sure the mandalas are connected to in the Hinduist religion or Sikh, which Sikh is another religion in India. And I mean, like, I grew up in a Catholic and Christian country like Italy, and it's everywhere. I mean, this kind of teaching, it's everywhere. They just explain in a different way. Everybody thinks it's right, but at the end of the day, if you want to put it in a general spiritual way, yes, like sacred geometry is on everything we see and we touch, I would say. Human being, for instance. And it's pretty interesting, like, and the few times I did meditation, and I remember using one time one of your mandalas, because you left one at your previous place in Canada where I went to live after a few months after you left. You were living in a little basement apartment up at Blue Mountain, and after a few months you moved away, I took that spot, and I remember Debbie, the landlord, left one of those mandalas, and when she wasn't using it, because she was really, I remember she was so proud of the mandala you created, one of those, and when she wasn't using it, I was using it, and I remember, like, find it very, very interesting, and to change the you know, like, the shape and move it around, and it was helping focusing and relax your mind, you know. So I understand when you say what you were explaining before. I wouldn't know how to explain it as you do, but it is a relaxing feeling, and yes, like, it really helps to focus and concentrate while you do meditate. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it's just, you have to have, you need to be careful when you move it, because you can also destroy it. So I think it's a way how you can control your vital energy, right? You need to be, you need to move it very slowly, but at the same time, try to find different figures. And so it seems easy, but you start learning how to move it too. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very way of meditating, because you're actually very concentrated on how you're going to move it now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember when I was using it, like, I had to be delicate, because I also have big hands. So, I mean, I said, I don't want to destroy this. It's so nice and so elaborated. So, I mean, like, I definitely don't want to. And I do remember, let's actually say hi to Debbie. She used to be my landlord. She used to be Susan Landlord when she was here in Canada. Maybe she will watch this podcast eventually. So, and we shared a lot in that little basement apartment, when I was coming and visit you, and to listen to music or watch movies or talk about yoga, you know, like, or make pizza from scratch, you know. that place, despite it's not my home anymore, it will always be home, because I met so many friends, and you know, you are one of my best friends. So let's say that I feel very spiritual tonight. Let's say that it's all a path, and it's the circle that expands in different shapes, you know.
I'm really glad
we are having this conversation, which it's my podcast tonight, but it's also nice to have it's very casual and friendly conversation, so I mean, like, it feels good. But let's we're almost up our time, so let's go to the last few things. So let's talk about Susan Entrepreneur, your entrepreneurial spirit, which made you a small business owner of a yoga project, which is Suara Yoga. And tell us how it's working, how it's going. Like, you enjoying to be your own boss? Do you enjoy teaching others? What can you tell us about being a small business owner in Costa Rica? And maybe tell us if you would be able to do something like that in Canada or the United States. And, you know, my listener might be from Canada and the United States, so they might be interested in hearing if you think that you can succeed in Canada and United States with your business.
Well, right now, because of the crisis, I think it's great to do virtual lessons, because now you can get to people from everywhere in the world. So that's amazing. I actually have a friend of mine that is doing yoga with me. She lives in Canada, and she finds it so beneficial for her because she doesn't even have to move from home.
Is that our common friend?
Yeah.
Let's say hi to Adriana. Hi, Adriana.
Yeah,
as well.
Adriana. And so I think it's great to have this opportunity, and also we love to travel to Canada or United States or anywhere in the world to also get some trainings there, like to learn something new. I would like to love and get and learn more in different from different teachers around the world, not only from Costa Rica. So
yeah,
that's one of my goals, and I hope after the situation we can start traveling again, and then you know, look for options. But as far as right now, I'm just enjoying it a lot to do the virtual lessons. I'm working with new topics every month, and in my page I always publish information about yoga, meditation, breathing, the energetic side, bandhas, mudras, and all that information. Let me share with you my online sites.
Very nice.
This is
social network, guys. Here you can find Susan and get back in shape or relax. She will be the perfect teacher for you to get to your lifestyle goals and relaxing goals. So
exactly.
Take a pen or take a picture of the screen, whatever you prefer. Look, she has mandalas on her logo as well, and a little elephant, which I guess is the representation of Vishnu, one of Hindu's gods.
It is actually Ganesh.
Ganesh,
yes, Ganesh.
I made a mistake. I don't have enough culture of this.
Yeah, there's
sorry about that.
Many gods, but yeah, this is Ganesh or Ganesha. You can call it both ways. And I always felt connected with this Ganesh. I always find it so attractive, and I really like it. And it represents like the god for the people who follows Ganesh. They always pray to Ganesh when they want to start a new project. It's the god of new projects. So I decided to use it at my logo because I really liked it. And yes, I feel connected with Ganesh and with the elephants general. Well, Ganesh is just half a human and half elephant. It has a interesting history behind it. And yeah, that's my logo, and the mandalas are also there. And well, Swara Yoga in Facebook or Instagram. And I'm just wanna would like to make a special gift for tonight. So anybody then contacts me via social media and they say they watch this podcast, I will give them a free yoga lesson online, a personal yoga lesson.
Ooh,
online, or you can invite your friends too if you prefer.
Guys, this is a great deal, a personal yoga lesson
with
Susan. I mean, like, this is a deal you cannot miss, you know, like.
Yeah, soon, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you can choose if you want to focus in a specific area of your body, or if you just want to meditate, or if you want to try flexibility, or whatever you want to try. Mm-hmm. You want to try, you want to work your energetic side of your body, like chakras, or, you know, all those topics, interesting topics. So yeah, you're welcome to contact me, and just let me know you watch this podcast.
So guys, you know that you watch this podcast, it's a homemade podcast. It means that I'm not professional. This is the first episode. As I already said, like, I never done it before, and I'm already 32. So let's see how it goes. But if you guys watch and you guys interested in yoga and want to try a free lesson with Susan, please contact her and tell her that you watched this idiot podcast, you know, like, and or Gabe or Gabriel. So I mean, like, or Gabrielle if you're Italian, you know, like me. So tell her, and she will fix you with a free first private lesson. And then if you like it, I'm sure you will. You guys can continue work on your body shape or your stress levels and anxiety. It's all beneficial. And now we are really at the end. We would, in order to speak about yoga, meditation, chakras, mandalas, it would take like hours and hours. And the podcast is that cannot last like more than 45 minutes, an hour. So I mean, like, it's time to go. But yeah, I mean, like, Susan, you're one of my best friends. I've known you now since 2015, but like it's been five years that I've known you. And I'm proud to say that you're artist, entrepreneur, business owner, and a yoga mm-hmm. professional. I mean, like, very proud of you.
Thank you, Gabe.
And eventually, I'm sure that I will be successful, maybe internationally, once all this crappy virus situation is over. Can't wait, because it's sad in general, the situation, and all the people that are feeling sick and are dying. I mean, so of course we want this to be over in general for lives and for business, you know, like, and for everything. So thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you, Gabe. Thank you. I hope you make many more podcasts. Thank you for having me.
I'm working on episodes. And by the way, guys, this is a general podcast. And these first few episodes will be about passions, hobbies, lifestyle. So if you like what you saw and you have any suggestions or any advices on what you would like me to talk about, please message me, inbox me. When this comes out, I will have a YouTube channel, and probably will share this also through only audio, so for podcasts. So stay tuned and subscribe if you want, or leave a like or leave a comment if you liked it. And if you didn't like it, put a dislike, use a dislike, or just leave a negative comment. Every advertising is good, and every constructive criticism is worth it, you know, for when you start. So thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Susan. I hope you have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
And bye, everybody, and peace out.
Bye.